everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2020, and you're listening to episode 178, which is a short pod blast that's part of a special series during the COVID-19 2020 quarantine shut-in. On this episode, I'm joined by Anne Kennedy, who has an MDiv and is author of Nailed It, 365 Sarcastic Devotions for Angry and Worn-Out People. She blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on patheos.com. Anne, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, as our listeners know, we're in the midst of a quarantine pandemic series where I'm having a few of our journal authors come on and give Christians a word of encouragement during this time, since we've all been home for about a month now. And I wanted to ask Anne, first of all, Anne is at home. She's a pastor's wife. She has six kids. So what's been the easiest and hardest adjustments for you during this quarantine?
Well, it's been easy by and large, because we are homeschooling already, and my husband and I mostly do everything from home. He doesn't have an office at church, and so he mostly works from home. Our biggest meal of the day normally is lunch when we're all together. So our lives haven't really, you know, we haven't changed our routine at all, except for, you know, live streaming church and a lot of, you know, trying to move things to technology that before were, you know, face-to-face. So it hasn't changed our lives practically very much, but I would say that it has been really tough. The technology has been the biggest difficulty that we've had, trying to make sure that people knew how to use it, what they're doing, moving all Bible studies and prayer to Zoom and Google Hangouts and stuff like that. And then our kids have struggled because they are social, and we had a lot of friends that we would see during the week, and activities that we went to, and all of those went away. So that has been rough on them.
Well, I'd also like to ask you something small that you lament. Now, of course, there's big laments during this time, and we don't want to minimize people who have been impacted directly from the coronavirus, or their home lives are more of a challenge than other people for a variety of reasons. But I think for some of us, we just want to be able to say we are lamenting and missing something that we used to take for granted. So what has that been for you?
I think for me, the biggest lament, well, big, and it's both big and small, is the loss of going to church in the body, as it were. You know, I do a lot at our church on Sunday morning, and it's a very busy morning for us. We go at 7:30 in the morning, and we're there usually until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And our whole lives are structured around the church. So having the face-to-face part of that go away has been rough. And then we lost Holy Week and Easter, which are, you know, that they're the highest point of our year, bigger than Christmas, bigger than everything. And so to have that, you know, disappear basically, and have tried to not replicate it, but, you know, honor it in some way online, was a big challenge. And I think it was a real loss for me personally. That was my biggest grief.
So I wanted to talk to you today just about some word of encouragement that you can bring our listeners, just as they think through what it means to be a Christian and sheltering at home, and like you just said, away from the body. How would you like to give us a word of encouragement, or maybe it's a challenge or an exhortation, just about how we are approaching this time in our spiritual lives?
Well, I feel like I have learned a lot, and I think that I'm not the only one, that it's really an honor and a privilege to get to be together in person. And that this is not the first time that this has happened. The church has not always been able to meet face to face, has been persecuted, you know, or there's been things that have happened to the whole world that definitely also affected the church. And I was really encouraged this weekend. The reading in our church, the Anglican lectionary, is always the first week after Easter is always Doubting Thomas. And I've been moved over the years to think about the disciples. You know, they're locked away in this dark room. They're afraid, even though Jesus has risen. But of course, this year, that text really took on, you know, another layer of meaning and comfort. Because of course, we are in that same place. Jesus is risen. We know that he's defeated death. We don't have to live in fear. And yet, we do often. We don't mostly go out and storm the streets of Jerusalem with the gospel like they did at Pentecost, which of course we should do, but we can't always do that. We don't always live there. We are often living in fear, and we're beset by, it feels like the darkness is kind of crashing in often. And I don't think that as a church, we often get to feel that reality. We're used to being able to do whatever we want, to meet, you know, in whatever kind of building we want. We have lots and lots of technology. We have great coffee. Most churches have really good coffee bars. And I don't think that we really get to experience firsthand the kind of fear and anxiety that the disciples would have felt. There was a really small group of them. There were only 120 people in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion who believed in Jesus, and 500 in Galilee. And so the experience of the first Christians would have been one of isolation, anxiety, fear, and not, you know, not knowing also exactly what they should be doing, how the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus was going to so transform their lives. They didn't know that yet in the first week after the Passion. So in some sense, you know, I lost the week that I love most, the Holy Week, the services around the crucifixion. But as a family and as a church, we've gotten to experience something that we didn't know in a more real way than we could have ever anticipated. So that's definitely an encouragement, I think, although a painful one, and one that I think will last in our collective spiritual memories for a long time.
How do you think this time will change the way we do church? Now, I know your church is smaller in your area than some churches that are larger, but, you know, we don't know when we'll be back to group meetings more than 10 people or even 20 people. So how does that change the rhythms of your church that you foresee going into the summer? I mean, especially as we start going out.
I think one of the lasting effects that's going to be really good is that our church is discovering firsthand how much they value meeting in person. We have really good, you know, people don't neglect the gathering of the faithful. They come faithfully every Sunday. And some people come from a long way away, and some people live right here. But I think that what's astonished people the most is how much they miss the in-person gathering. And so definitely one good thing about this is that we've had to up our technology. We've had to get a handle. We had to make sure that our website works functionally. A lot of the little details that, you know, you find you never have time for when life is trucking along in its regular way, we've had to stop and really attend to a lot of those details. So our website is much more functional than it was. We have a good camera. We know how to use technologies like Zoom, and we're learning how to meet with each other in other kinds of ways. So we can still be the church, even if we can't see each other face to face. We haven't stopped being the church. But I think that this has really increased the desire for people to be in the flesh with each other. And I think that's really good because, you know, one conversation we're going to have when this is all over is, are we going to continue to live stream? Or, you know, what happens if you don't feel like waking up and coming on Sunday morning? A lot of conversations like that are already being had. We don't want to become an online church. Meeting together is really important. And I think that's going to be something that not just our congregation, but every congregation is going to face. Technology is easier in many respects, and it feels safer right now, especially. But that has, you know, that has ramifications down the line if we are not thoughtful about how we use it. And when we stop using it, we've really got to be careful about that, I think.
And what encouragement would you give to Christians who maybe before this quarantine would just be occasional churchgoers? They just didn't really see the value of being in person at church regularly.
I've thought about that a bit. I think that this whole crisis has shown, and I don't know if people are actually getting this lesson, but I think it's a really important lesson. There's two things. One, contentment is something that you need to work on in your life. Paul talks about it. It's a choice that you can make. It's something that you can learn. You can learn to be content in every circumstance. If you aren't content when life is going well, when disaster strikes, you are not going to know. You're not going to have the resources, the spiritual resources you need to be able to get through that functionally. So cultivating contentment in your life, no matter your circumstances, is so important to do, no matter what's going on. And then I think it's really important, you should have family in one fashion or another, even if you make, if you're alone, if you make friends into your family, that's a really important thing to do. But you should try to belong to a church, because the church has resources that are not seen, like the Holy Spirit, for instance, that enable us to take care of each other in a deeper and more full way than if we were just a club or, you know, like the YMCA or something like that. You should belong to a church in person. You should go every Sunday so that people know you. You divulge yourself to them, and then they will take care of you when you can't see, you know, when you are really isolated. So we're calling everybody on our parish list every week. We are checking in with people. We're making sure that people have groceries and are able to go to doctor's appointments when they need to, and other kind of practical considerations like that. And when I look at the kind of isolation that people are experiencing outside of the church, it's really heartbreaking. So you should take the times of prosperity, or the fat cow years, to make a spiritual bank for yourself against the lean years where you are not, you don't have everything that you think you need, because God takes care of his people through the church. It's one of the means that he uses for that. And I think the church, our church, and I know a lot of churches online are doing a great job of taking care of their people, making sure that people are not lonely and meeting financial needs and other kinds of things like that, that, you know, the world doesn't have. So this has actually, I think, been a great witness of the church being the church that we haven't had in a long time.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire quarantine versions of these kinds of questions for Anne. And the first one is, people are doing a lot of eating while they're in quarantine. So are you guys turning to comfort food or healthy food?
We go back and forth. My parents are here, and so they are baking. Like, my dad has been making cakes and bread every day. It's really terrible. So we go back and forth between eating everything and then feeling terrible and trying to get some exercise and eat vegetables for a day. It's this wild swinging back and forth.
And one of the things that has been in short supply, but I think there's a little bit more of it now, is toilet paper. So in the Kennedy household, people want to know, do you guys hang your toilet paper over or under?
We have such dysfunctional children who don't even pay attention that nobody even hangs it on the little hook. It just gets, it sits wherever, wanders away. And so, yeah, it's very stressful. And when my children leave, it will be hung over.
Well, that's a very fun answer. I don't think anyone has said that yet, that people just kind of don't even put it on the toilet paper roll hanger. Well, thanks, Anne, for being a guest on this special series of the Postmodern Realities Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to a short pod blast that's part of a special series during the COVID-19-2020 quarantine on the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Anne Kennedy. She blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on Pathios.com. Thank you for listening.